Welcome to FSHD Straight Talk, the podcast where we dive deep into living with FSHD. I'm your host, Tim Hollenbach, and I'm on the journey with you. Having FSHD, I understand the challenges it brings to patients and their families. We're in this together, and this podcast is a space where we swap stories, share advice, and talk to experts to get the latest news. There's plenty to say about living with FSH muscular dystrophy, so let's get straight to it. Hello all and welcome to another episode of FSHD Straight Talk. I'm your host, Tim Hollenbach, and thanks for spending some time with us today. Great guest in store. I'm excited to talk to this guy. His name is Ryan Olson. He's from California. We talk about a lot of things. I guess the key word is his journey. Shares his FSHD story. Talked about his kind of post and pre coming out about it. Struggled with kind of holding it in and what his life looked for that, and so many other things we touch on. Email me, fshdradio@fshdsociety.org. If you'd like to be like Ryan and be on the show, I'd love to hear from you. I hear from a lot of people from the area commenting on the show. I've even had someone recently ask, hey, will you ever go live? Will you ever do another live shows? Maybe. If you are interested in that, I'd love to hear from you. Maybe your ideas and what that looks like. Send me an email about that. Back in the day, we used to do some live shows. We even did a live radiothon. Those interviews are actually out there on the archive, which leads my next plug. If you follow the show, all your podcast platforms, Spotify is my place of choice. You can find all those archive episodes. Please feel free to browse through there. But yeah, we used to do it a little bit live, and I like the interaction of people that would comment. You know, way back in the day, we used to do it on Blog Talk Radio, and that evolved into kind of airing it on Facebook. And I would see the comments through the Facebook thread and then work off of those comments and questions to my live guest at the time. Those were fun times. Adds a little extra stress technology wise. This adds an element of ease in a way that we just kind of create this content, and in the FSHD Society helps office helps kind of edit it and like produce it and give it to you in kind of the form you're seeing it. But it was an interesting comment. And I do miss the live times. I used to have a live web radio show I used to do way back before FSHD Society's podcast that I've been doing now for, almost 8 years, I want to say now. And those were live. And I always liked the stress, so to speak, the uncomfortableness of what live can bring. So it's an interesting idea. A little bit about the guest today. Ryan talks about, like I mentioned, his journey of having FSHD, kind of holding it in, and then evolving to the fact that he had it, and then how faith has intertwined so much in his life and has kind of guided him in what he does now for a living. It's opened some doors to do something else. He used to always work with his hands. He was like a mechanic and a plumber. We even talk about why he had those jobs, because it was more like that sense of masculinity. We touch on that subject, which I believe is a subject we need to dive deeper in different episodes in the future, for sure, because I think that this disease attacks men in particular in that way, and even women, right? In that very dangerous comparison game that we play with other people around us. I know I do it when I'm in the gym working out and like, oh man, I'm this weak compared to this person, or I wish I looked like that. And it is tough. And to try to be comfortable in your own skin, sometimes that's difficult. And Ryan kind of gets into it with us on that too. And he has some awesome advice, shares his message about grief and some amazing advice at the end of the interview too, for those that maybe are recently diagnosed and like kind of struggling, or even those that have been diagnosed for a while and are struggling. I think he has some great words of advice and wisdom, and so excited to bring it to you. So without further ado, here is the conversation I had with Ryan Olson. Imagine a day filled with hope, community, and unstoppable movement, where every roll, stride, and smile brings us closer to a world without FSHD. The Walk and Roll to Cure FSHD is the FSHD Society's nationwide event series that brings together families, friends, and supporters to fund groundbreaking research and strengthen the FSHD community. Whether you roll, walk, volunteer, or cheer, you are part of something meaningful, a movement for change. Each walk and roll is a celebration of resilience and connection. People from all backgrounds come together to share stories, raise awareness, and help move research forward, building a future where no one faces FSHD alone. Join thousands across the country who are turning hope into action through every roll, stride, and show of support. Walk and roll to cure FSHD. Move together. Cure FSHD.
All righty.
So as promised, we have our guest for this show coming out of California is Ryan Olson. Ryan.
Hello.
Joining us. Thanks for being here. Appreciate you spending some time with us on the podcast. And when we, before we hit record, you kind of said, you know, I didn't know there was a podcast. And then you had this, it sounded like maybe like a very interesting Instagram message, maybe from one of our FSHD people that kind of helped find guests. And you're like, okay.
Yeah. 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 I got a random message out of the blue saying, would you like to be on our podcast? I said, yeah. Oh my goodness, there's a podcast in my head. And went and found it. I said, totally, I'm in. My wife was ecstatic. So
really?
Here okay. I am.
And your
thanks
wife's
for
not
having me.
Oh, absolutely. I'm happy to have you on, of course. We like try to, as I say, search the globe for people that want to tell their story, help others, you know, share their FSHD story, what they're doing, how they dealt with diagnosis, all those things. Because that's what we're doing with every day. Everybody right. has to deal with this. Even once you're diagnosed, it's the journey has really just begun. You know, mm-hmm. there's like a pre and a post. And I know we even before hit record, we kind of talked about that. So let's start there. We know who you are and where you're from, but tell us a little more, you know, maybe your FSHD story.
All right.
A little bit about yourself.
So it was October of 2004 was my diagnosis, and it was quite accidental because I was 24 at the time. I probably should have been diagnosed as an adolescent, but I did baseball, martial arts, dirt bike, football, you know, any sport, nice. Just everything growing up. And I was always obviously quite skinny, but I just assumed, oh, high metabolism and, oh, I can't work out. And yeah. So, you know, ironically, I would, you know, work out and exercise and stuff, never gained any muscle, never really mm-hmm. knowing why. Mm-hmm. And I had taken the ASVAB test for Army to the, I think it's the Armed Services Vocational Aptitude Battery. Okay. I took that when I was a sophomore or a junior in high school, just to get out of class because it's a really long mm-hmm. test and you get to go take it. And so yeah. they reached out to me and offered, you know, they're like, hey, we'd like you to do this cool job in the Army. And mm-hmm. it's like, cool. Yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm not going to plan for college. I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I get to the point, you got to go take this really, really long physical. And there's a point in the physical where you're in a line with a bunch of other guys and you got to raise your arms over your head and kind of walk. And,
oh,
clearly can't do that.
Yeah.
I'm like, it gets to about here. And, all I remember is, the doctor at the time saying, can you raise your arms up? I'm like, I guess not. This is as high as they go. And he stamped, a stamp on my file, permanent medical rejection, and just sent me away. And I had no idea why, because I had not been diagnosed yet. I was only 17.
Wow.
And so that was, it was,
so a bad plan.
It was a bad plan. It was a pre-diagnosis devastation. Cause yeah. that was all I had planned for. And I was 17, I guess, at the time. And so my dad and grandpa are both mechanics. So then I was like, well, I guess I'll work on cars. Mm-hmm. So sure. started working on cars because I liked cars. And mm-hmm. several years into that, I just realized I was like tripping a lot and then couldn't, you know, the lifting things over my head was just more and more impossible. And I had done research. I mean, this was, you know, the early days of Google. And because my scapula wing out, obviously. And when I would search for things like weak arms, scapular, winging scapula, I came across a lot of articles for football players that had had winged scapula because of a damage to, I think it's called the long thoracic nerve, which is a can control the muscles for the for that. And
Okay.
so I was like, well, that's obviously what I have. I must have heard it doing one of the many activities I did growing up. And so I went to a doctor, and they were like, no, and they referred me to a neurologist and took one look at me and said, do you have FSHD? And so it was,
There
that's what I
was.
meant when I said it was an accidental
Yeah.
diagnosis. It certainly was not what I was looking for, none as any of us would be.
It yes, and your journey is interesting. I mean, I've heard several, right? I mean, a lot of FSHD stories of like diagnosis, and there are some that are, you know, some things that are common within it. But the fact that you went to the army for this test, he just basically rubber stamps you like, no, we don't want you, blah, blah, blah. But that's it. Like, doesn't offer anything else. And
No.
then I mean, did your family know that that test did not work out for you and that you were stamped of a medical
Oh
no?
yeah. Yeah, I obviously, I mean, was probably crying on the drive home to
Yeah.
the recruiters, and shared with the family that, but nobody knew why or what happened. And the
Huh.
doctors there weren't doing any type of investigation. They were just,
Right.
well, you're not for us, get out.
I suppose, yeah. And it didn't seem life-threatening, right? It's not like you had a heart problem. They're like, hey, we need you to see someone. It was more like, I guess you can't do that, and
You
we need
can't do
you.
that. Carry on with your life. And
Yeah. Huh.
I'm young enough slash old enough to not want to dig into it further, or not go ask a doctor on my own, like, why did this happen, or why do my shoulder blades stick out? So I just kind of pushed on with life, I suppose.
Yeah. And then, so you were diagnosed then at what age? You said 24.
24.
Okay. So from 17 from that test to like 24. So now we're like in this limbo state of what is
Trying to
this? Kind of
do,
maybe just getting through life.
getting through life, trying to do. I had one of my biggest problems was, and still is to some degree, is comparison with other men. I have, a lot of weaknesses in the area of, well, physicality. And so it's
Right.
like, well, if I have a job that's blue collar enough, or if I can, do this enough, then I'm. Then, internally, then I'll be, a real man, quote unquote. And so I was just through this whole, several years long, I was a plumber. I worked on construction sites, and that eventually
Wow.
I wound up in automotive, which was a
But
good thing.
always working with your hands, it sounds like.
Always
Oh, it's
physical.
physical work. Yeah, I can relate to that. My work was more warehouse type stuff, lifting, carrying things, moving jobs
Carrying, lifting.
inside. Oh yeah, everything, all that kind of stuff. And thinking, you know, well, I mean, I never gained any muscle. You know, I should have been pretty big. when you think about it, it's like I got gypped.
I
But
could have accidentally become strong.
that's right. And it never occurred to me like you that there was a disease wrapped around it. Now, it's interesting though, because you're kind of like venturing into this part of this disease that I don't think is covered enough. I don't know why. I kind of blame myself because I could bring it up more in my platform that I use. Maybe I should have a whole episode on it. Is the masculinity issue. Men are recognized by being strong based on what we can lift or look like or how many abs or how big our biceps are and all that kind of stuff.
Yes,
This
sir.
absolutely destroys that imagery of us. All like, what kind of man are you then? Right. And I have found too in the past, like I have had to defend that, you know, or you like you were kind of implying like you have to then do jobs that make you masculine, making up for the fact you don't have the muscles. Right. Where I am here in the north, it disappears for whatever reason in the Midwest, in this part, like Minnesota, Wisconsin. It seems like the more you drink, the more manly you are. I don't like to drink, Ryan. So I have that not going for me either. So it's like no muscles, you know. You'd imagine right now the names might get called, or you got to try to defend your manliness and all that kind of stuff, right? So, do you feel that like when you use the word comparison, and then we're kind of venturing in there?
Yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah.
There's two paths, I can go here. One is, the negative side, of where I struggled with this immensely, post-diagnosis, just giving in, where I'm like, well, I can't do my job anymore. All I had ever done was, physical work, so I had to go on disability. And then I did, alcohol a lot just because what else am I going to do? I can't work, I can't do anything, I don't know how to do anything. I can't lift anything. So it was very depressing. And when you see, all of, in my instance, all of my friends were, strong, put together, had, physical jobs. It's a just a cesspool of comparison. And it's very easy to feel emasculated in that sense if you're living in your own mind. And so for, I mean, a decade probably at least, I was, wallowing in that, self-pity, self-hatred, a lot of depression, rooted in a false identity that I had for myself, which was, you're not really a man, you're just a shell. You should be, but you're not. Thankfully, my wife, who I is amazing and does not tolerate my senses of, feeling less than in those scenarios where, we recently bought our first house, and it seems like every project is above your head. And I'm still,
Yeah, you and I bought the same house.
I like, I still try to define myself as being handy and the fix-it person because I got all the tools and I out, know how to do the things, but I can't physically do the things. But she can. And so, she will allow us to work together where I'm like, this is what we have to do. And she'll do the, the above hand stuff and doesn't ever look at me as less than. And I was gonna weave that somehow in with faith. I'm a Christian, and so finding my identity in who God sees me as, not a broken individual, but a cherished son, is, very visible through how my wife sees and loves me through that. So there's, I don't know, want to get into the Bible too much, but there's an instance in the Old Testament where, oops, sorry, new mic. Aaron has to support his brother's arms to hold up the cross for the people to stare at, so that, or so they can, win they win the war as long as he's holding up his arms, right? If he can't, if his arms start dropping, they start losing. And so I can't lift my arms up, but my wife physically does sometimes hold my arms up and lift me up. And we it's just a it's a really cool
It's a cool imagery, right? I mean,
imagery. That's a good one.
I mean, well, and that's kind of where I was going to drift because you use the word negative, like the negative of this is the depression that you went through that for 10 years and so on. So then the positive is like your faith, right? Would you find, I mean, did you not have or did not have it as strong in those negative times? And did the faith
Well,
lead with the positive, or how did that work together?
so in those times, I didn't really have a, I had a, I knew that, oh, there's probably a God, but I didn't have that trust. I didn't have that faith. I didn't have that belief, and anything that I would think towards him was anger and why would you do this to me? I still probably have times like that. Why me? But there's also like, thank you for making it me, because maybe that means I'm I'll be able to help someone else, further, down the line. So
Yeah, I think,
I'm still putting all those pieces together.
well, and it might not ever be complete, right? You might not ever have it all figured out. I
No.
think we get obsessed with, well, I gotta have it figured out by the time, whatever that is. And it's like, no, not necessarily. So I found that, not that I was a complete jerk, Ryan, before FSHD. I mean, I just know that I was not as empathetic to other people's struggles as I am now. And have been since my diagnosis. It was like an instant like awakening of like looking at people differently and going, whoa, I bet you that like When I got diagnosed and I'm sitting in the parking lot literally with this news, watching people going in and out of the clinic. And I immediately thought, there is no way I'm the only person that went in one kind of person and came out different. There's no way. And I'm watching people coming in and out. And I don't know how long I was there. It was not like 10 minutes. I'm talking a while. And I'm thinking, there's no way that I'm the only person that's had to deal with something similar, right? Either cancer, muscular dystrophy, MS, whatever, name it. Heck, even mental illness, right? I mean, where you struggle and then someone finally lays it on you and goes, well, we think this is what you're dealing with. Like, holy cow. And then I thought, well, okay, then I really am then the same person I came in as I left. I just know this about myself is the really big difference.
That's true.
I had to try to talk myself off a ledge, so to speak. Not that that was the issue, it was not, but that doesn't mean I haven't had, like you mentioned, like depression issues or feeling down or just a down day. And I don't know why. It's just, I just don't feel down. Even if it's something I'm doing that I enjoy and I'm like, just not feeling it. Like the struggle is there, like every day. Like, oh my gosh, another battle, another fight, right?
Another battle, yeah, and that's
Yeah.
what I as you know, the disease will have its plateaus, and then you'll have a divot, and then you'll plateau for a while. And we recently, repainted my office, and I realized that I could no longer control, spackling holes.
Oh.
Even though it was at, like chest level, I was just like, my arms were just saying, nope. And
Man,
it
right.
was like, okay, now another thing I have to grieve,
Yeah. Yeah.
it's so that those are the hard days when it's yet another battle, like you said. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
When are the
Yeah.
battles? I'm tired of the battles.
It's like, good Lord, man, another one. No, and like every and I and I and I and I've said this to like the ball team I coach, because they've been on my journey with me, a lot of these kids for a while, there was even a small little PBS documentary about me coaching baseball with muscular dystrophy and stuff. So like these kids, some of these kids I still coach now, and they're like ready to graduate high school soon. And so like they know about it, and I try to use it as a reference when it's going to be, I hope, a positive moment for them. Like, this is, life's a battle. Like, every day I got to swing my legs out of my bed and I go, okay, am I putting these feet on the ground and then we're going to go? Like, okay, are we going again? Yeah, we're going again. Okay, let's go. And I even have this bag that I have a little, it's actually next to me. It's by a company that makes it called Warstick, and Warstick is a baseball brand, and I like the brand a lot. And on one of their mantras, on the handle of my bag, it says the word battle. After them, they mean it more in a athletic sense, it's a Native American based company. There's just a little bit of that sprinkle in there too. But I see that and I thought, yeah, that's kind of it. And not that it's actually bad. People think battle, fight, resistance, all those things, but it's more like, are you in it?
Yeah,
Perseverance,
perseverance.
Yeah.
I like
And
that. That's
then for you, having a strong faith, as it sounds like it's been growing in you, maybe as the disease is taking it away, would you feel like faith is filling those spots?
absolutely.
Yeah.
Without it, this would, I think it would have got me a long time ago to
Ooh, yeah.
where I would have just been, all right, I live on the couch with a bottle of something, and that's my life now, but God told Paul that his grace is sufficient, right? And his power is made perfect in weakness. And if anyone's weak, it's us, it's certainly me. And so the struggle I have is to sometimes hold on to that, and to know that, okay, yeah, I'm weak, and these are things that I can't do, but I know there's a way to get, I know there's a way through it. And I believe my faith is what is pulling me through it. And a
How
strong, I have
about
a strong community of people around me that are just awesome. So,
Yeah, and I guess that leads to a good segue, because I was going to say, you talked about your wife. How about like other family and like since diagnosis and like knowing that specific thing and this is what's happening and your body's changing, and how has that been with, close friends or family?
the when I was diagnosed, I really didn't, honestly, I didn't have any friends. I was very isolated. I had a friend, roommate, but we weren't really super close. I have a very, very close community now, friends through my church, and some outside of it who are just, see me better than I see myself a lot of times, which I think is another way that, because like I was saying too, I compare myself to these people constantly. Like, oh, you have a, perfect physique. Oh, you can lift this and do this, and they'll call me on it. You're like, that's BS. Get out of here with that. And so, these are people that met me, geez, six years ago, maybe. So I've only been in this area for that long. Yeah, about 2020, I guess. So they've known me well into disease progression. My dad actually has FSH as well. He was diagnosed maybe 10 years after I was. So he's got his own struggles happening.
And he's still with us? He's still with us?
Seven mobility issues.
How does that make you feel that way? Is it almost like you're seeing your future? Does it bother you? Outside of the fact he's your father and that's his
Yeah,
childhood?
I'm not so sure I'm bothered about the future anymore, because I'm determined to get like some four-wheel drive wheelchair if I ever need, I'll we'll supercharge
Yeah, say the car person in you. Yeah,
it.
that
Yeah,
makes sense.
we'll make it move. But I feel sad, because seeing someone that you love struggle and lose the things that you've lost yourself, or that we are both losing muscles in different areas as well. So his legs are going more than mine, but my arms are gone. And so seeing someone struggle with something so fundamental almost, it is really hard.
That's an interesting way to like put a bit to put it. Word choice, fundamental. Like the
It seems like a
basics,
harsh
right?
word almost, because it, obviously, your bipedal mobility doesn't, define anyone as a person or their worth or anything. But you think about someone who's been able to walk for 60 years and suddenly they are not able to, it's a tough grieving process, yeah, I hope that word didn't come off too wrong, but.
No, I think it's spot on. And
Okay.
I think that's like the word sometimes I want to use for people. Like the fundamental basic movements of your life, you take them for granted.
Yes.
Walking, lifting a spoon to your mouth,
Sitting up.
sitting up, brushing your hair, fixing your hair, that's over,
Yeah.
right? Or you got to do it different. For me, putting on a winter hat, for the love of Pete, can that get harder? It's like, come on. I mean, I got to bend down to put the hat. That doesn't make any sense, Ryan. I'm supposed to
I
go on
have to
the.
swing a beanie and try not to punch myself in the nose when I'm doing it. It's ridiculous.
Yes. See, but this is something that you and I and others that are listening, I'm sure, are going, yeah, I have to do that,
Yeah.
And it's insane, but those fundamental, like you said, simple
Yeah.
movements are difficult. And I think some people don't quite understand until they're like watching you go through it on a more
Yes.
regular basis, so wives, loved ones, et cetera, that like for us
Yeah,
that living
absolutely.
with you. And I almost say like they kind of are going through it with you. Like they almost
Oh,
might as well have it
100%.
too.
Because I mean, and God bless the caregivers, because they pick up slack where we can't, and yeah, I try to make sure she knows the appreciation I have for it. At the same time, sometimes when I watch her sit up, I'll say, "Please do that again," because I just want to live vicariously through your sit up. Remembering the days of abs.
Oh, you had those then too? I never had
Yeah.
those. I don't know. I think they were lost immediately. Like I was the first thing
Ironically,
to go.
in middle school we had a contest, and I was able to do the most sit-ups in 1 minute.
What?
Yeah.
Lucky
And
dog.
now that it's just such a foreign concept, I can lift my neck off the ground and that's it. Like, it does not seem like that was ever possible.
There's things that that used to do. Like I would tell my wife, like I would almost do anything to be able to run down a fly ball again in a ball field.
Jeez.
I would love to be able to go ice skating again and play some hockey. I said, I cannot
Oh,
believe I used to do that stuff. I
right.
can't believe that that was me. You know, I should have filmed it more or something. It's like, I don't get
Where
it.
were the phones?
Where were the phones at? They weren't there, you know? But they're good memories, of course. And it's, you know, you try to roll with what you can do and try to focus on that and like fight like crazy to kind of hold those things. But it's out of our control.
Yes.
You use the word a couple times, grieving.
Yeah.
You know, grieving. I think that's a, I don't know, I've used it too, but like for you, you know, maybe kind of dive a layer deeper there, you know.
Oh, well, I think part of it has to do with identity. And they don't have to be together, but they can be, and they probably should be separated. But you know, for things like I have this big 32-ounce water bottle with a
Holy cow, man.
it's totally a Yeti. It really is. I didn't just put a sticker on a water bottle. Sponsor me.
Yeah, right.
But so I don't if I don't have a it's plastic, right? So it doesn't weigh
Okay.
anything. But if I don't
Yeah.
fill it up, then I will never drink enough water. So it's the only way I can really force myself to drink water.
Yeah.
And 2 years ago, you know, with the water spigots on the outside of refrigerators, right? I could just put it on there, fill it up, and then, you know, carry it away and put it to my mouth and drink.
Yeah.
And it's probably 2, maybe 3 years ago, I filled it up, pulled it away, and then it just fell. It
Oh
was like
no.
all of a sudden, like overnight, that bicep was gone. So my right one's been a noodle for a long time. My
Yeah.
left one actually, it had a little bump, but it was just holding on.
Yeah.
But eventually, it died. And then I brought up this example because it's sitting right next to me.
Yeah.
And so I had to, and I didn't do it at the time, because I didn't really know. So this was probably maybe 5 years ago now, that it was something I had to grieve was the loss of not the bicep, but the ability to do something that should be taken for granted, that, you know, I never had to think about before. But now it's another checked off thing of one less freedom, you know, one less thing you can do for yourself, such as, you know, as you mentioned before, you know, like brushing your teeth is a, you know, two-arm job. What?
Right.
And then
That's
when
not how
I'm
they teach
done, you
you.
know, I have these grip marks on my hand from my fingers because I have to hold it so tight. I'm like, what is that? But, and so,
Yeah.
you know, with regards to grieving, I think the deeper level there is it's not so much the loss of the thing, it's the loss of what it means as a person with you know, a freedom. You're losing a freedom that you have, you're losing an independence that you have,
Right.
because you know, if both arms are dead eventually, someone's, you know, could probably gonna have to hand you a cup to drink out of.
Oh man. Get a longer straw. Or I don't know. I know. It's like, but then you adapt it, right? I mean, you still have the cup. You still have
And
the
still
cup.
have a cup. And that's the powerful thing about FSH and so many other you know, muscle wasting disease or other disease. I mean, we're not the only ones that have things that we need to overcome. People have them in their everyday lives as well, but there's a forced adaptation that's involved. Where if you it would have been easy to just say, well, I can no longer have my cup, you know, but and it's a simple you know, simple example to be like, well, now I use two hands, and now I learn how to, instead of relying on the bicep, you learn how to tilt your shoulder out, and then you rely on your shoulder to do it.
Yeah.
And we all do that every day for any number of things, but I think there's a powerful thing that we can hold on to, in that because of this disease that we have, we, you know, our brains will allow us to, hey, my body can't do that anymore, but you know what it can do? It can use this other muscle I didn't know I had and figure out a way to do that.
Right. You
Which
force
is how
yourself in a way, right?
you force yourself in a way.
Yeah.
It's sometimes it's not pretty, but there's usually a way to get the job done.
Yeah. You just workarounds and
You
adapting
just work
and become
around.
masters of that.
Masters of adapting, yeah.
I mean, I've lost some control in my world of baseball coaching, flipping a baseball, the simple concept is flipping soft toss, I say a baseball. I've lost some control of accuracy with my right. And then it starts to get in my head a little bit, you know, like almost like the yips, you know? So I'm like, you know what? Screw this. I turn the little screen that protects me, you know, from the kid hitting, and I go, I'm going lefty. And I just like, I don't care. And I eventually, I'm like, yep, this is better. I'm like, now I just do a lefty. Like, this arm is just got to figure this out.
You just
And I'm
gotta
going
figure it
lefty.
out.
Like, we're just going to do this. Now I can still throw somewhat overhand, more like three quarter arm up or something. So
A
that's
side
fine.
arm.
But it's like, yeah, it's, but you're right. It's a adapting. Adapting is like the key. I think I've done it my whole life. I'm sure you have, just didn't realize it.
Yes.
Certain things, you just seem to do it this way. My wife always thought it was weird that I put my jacket on weird. It was like when I got diagnosed, she went, "That's it. That's why you put your jacket on weird." I went, "I put my jacket on weird." I'm like, "What?
That's
Why didn't
just
you say
how
anything?" She goes, "I don't know. It's just kind of what you do. You like swing your arms around because you can't bend them." I'm like, "Oh,
it
okay,
should see me
okay."
put on a backpack. It's
Oh
violent.
my gosh, yeah. Now I'm down to like one. I just one sling it. I can't. Forget it. Even like how I
Oh
gesture,
man,
you see everybody?
I
Like,
see, man. We're
yeah, we're like the same
I
movements
got
there.
it.
Oh my goodness. Now, you're involved with FSHE Society recently. You did a walk and roll, Sacramento area, I believe you told me.
Yes. First one.
First one. Was that your idea or somebody else's idea to do that, Ryan?
That was primarily my wife's strong encouragement.
Yeah.
She I mean she is she's a she's my number one advocate in things that I don't even want to advocate for myself for. I'm you know, 'cause like I said, it's been over 20 years now. And interestingly, when I was first diagnosed, they said, don't do any type of exercise. Don't do any of this. It's just going to make you die faster. Oh, great. So I didn't do anything for a
Well, tell
decade.
me once. Yeah, right.
Tell me, and then I'll just never address it again. You know, and obviously a lot of stuff's changed now. And so, but because that was the initial introduction that I had to it, I never really wanted to pursue anything. I never really like, well, there's no sense in going to anything because there's no treatments, there's no cures. Everyone's just slowly wasting away. So I had a very just doom and gloom, don't care aspect to it. And then I somehow came around that, you know, we got an email from the society about, you know, sign up for the walk. And I was like, okay. She
You're like, all right.
kind of suggested we do it. And then wound up becoming a team captain, had my own, I made
Nice.
a team Ryan's Hope. It's
That's
like,
awesome.
dude,
That's
trying to think
awesome.
of a team name is ridiculous, man. It's like trying to think of an email handle nowadays. But it was a blast. We raised a few bucks and met some great people, walked around the courtyard of the state capitol,
Oh, nice. Okay.
and
Cool.
came home. Yeah, it was good.
So you met different people, right? With the disease. Is that the most people you've met with FSHD
Yeah, I don't know
at
that
one
I had
time?
ever. I mean, actually, no. I think when I had first gone to the clinic in San Francisco, I think I met someone else that had it, but I mean, that was 20 years ago, and I hadn't not met anybody since, because I just kind of, you know, would stick to myself. You know, people
Well, it's
would say,
isolating.
yeah, I mean, people would ask, you know, what are you taking for it? And when you have to say there's no cures, there's no treatments, there's some, you know, DNA altering drugs in the pipeline, but you know, hopefully they make those before I die. So I just never really saw the point. But now I was able to meet, you know, I Brittany, I think, was the lady that coordinated it. And there's another gentleman that I met who goes to a lot of them that was there. But it was several people, several names I met in a short period of time. So I don't really remember them all, but they were all lovely people, very, very kind. And every one of us had different stages. So it was
Yeah, it
cool.
can be emotional, you know, to meet different people with it. That common, you know, kinship, so to speak, is kind of put together pretty quickly. I similar FSHD, a society event in Chicago, which is closer to where I am. They had a chapter meeting, and then I do a lot of stuff. I kind of like to go, solo on a lot of things. So like if my wife asks, "We want me to go to that with you?" I'm like, "Ah, it's fine." Like I don't want to bother her, right? Like you don't want to watch a bunch of people look like me that can't do, can only do this. Like really? Nah, I think we'll be fine. Okay, and she doesn't push back when I kind of push hard to like, "No, I got this." I probably should have had her with me because that was tough. Like I walked in that room and I started seeing like myself and other people, and I'm sure they were feeling the same way. And I went, "Ooh, this is a little deeper than I expected." Like
It's a little
we,
emotional as
yeah, like
well.
why am I feeling these things? This is weird. Like this is just a Starbucks in a back room here. I'm just supposed to talk and meet people, and it surprises you. It's something because you never experienced that before, and nobody in my family has FSHD. So as far as I know, I'm like one of those spontaneous people that have it or whatever. And
Lucky
so it was
you.
just, oh yeah, lucky me. Look what I've started. And yeah, so I get it, right? Now you've talked about, you've done physical work in the past, mechanic and these manly things. We've touched on that.
Manly.
But what do you do now? Still manly things, just different or
Yeah, I'm learning to call them manly things. I now I do software development,
Nice. Okay.
which I mean that whole thing was just, kind of God leading me to a different path. Like you're not going to be able to do physical stuff, so
Yeah.
let's figure out some typing type thing that you can do. And so it started out at I was volunteering, just in the midst of my post-diagnosis depression, and had to leave my physical job. I had started going to a church, and someone had suggested they volunteer, it'll help you feel better. And so I volunteered at this the school for adults with developmental disabilities, and the class was called Life Skills. And it was and it, and I would just go there like once 1 hour, once a week, and just, support, like help play games or help. And it filled my life so much that I started volunteering there full time. And so, yeah, 6 hours a day, 5 days a week, I was just
Holy cow.
volunteering. And it was just a beautiful experience with amazing people. And through that time, they were developing a new program, and they needed a website for it. And so I learned how to make websites. And I had so much fun doing websites that it led to getting a job doing website development.
What?
Through someone that I met at my church who happened to have a company that was looking for a website designer at the time. And golly, that was 15 years. I mean, that was a long time
Oh
ago now.
my gosh. I talk about, like you said, divine intervention.
As I look back on the things of my life, I can so clearly see the Lord's hand guiding me through various things. And now I work for a company, Cars Commerce, formerly cars.com, which
I
is,
know that one.
yeah. How I got into there was just amazing perseverance of, me reaching out to the company, looking for a job, even though they weren't really hiring remote at the time, but they're based in, Chicago, and I'm out here in California, but and
So you work remote.
I work remote, and it's just been it's an amazing experience with a great team and great people. And that, what am I doing there? I'm nobody, and how did I go from, dropping tools on my head to building, software integrations?
That's wild.
It's a wild story, and just keep giving thanks for it.
And then you've merged the worlds a little bit. I know when before we hit record, I said, "Oh, you have this, you like make apps, and you have the one that's Lights Out, which is a cool app that like times when your lights on your phone, right, goes out." I mean, that's something that should have always been existing, but Ryan says it should, and I will make it happen. And you
I
did.
will make it happen. That was my forced excuse to learn iPhone programming. Lots of times my wife leaves her flashlight on, and we saw someone in Costco pushing their cart, elderly gentleman with his flashlight going. And so, well, let's learn how to do apps. And so now I'm having that's a become a fun hobby. slash side thing.
And then more importantly, you're working on one called Flint,
It's
right?
called Flint. Yeah.
Yeah.
Set your
So
fate like
tell
Flint.
us about that. Yeah.
That is going to be, I mean, that idea came from as a Christian man wanting something to that can help me commit myself every morning more to the Lord and to things of Christ. And there's a lot of amazing apps. There's a lot of amazing Bible apps. There's a lot of amazing devotional apps. And I'm not trying, nor could I, reinvent that wheel. But a lot of them, there seem to be a missing niche area for those kind of apps aimed towards men specifically, where obviously women can download the app too when it's ready, but
Well, sure. Yeah.
where it's more aimed towards how a man would think, how a man would process information and want to engage with things. And so the goal of the app is to get into the man's head once a day and force him to confront himself, how he thinks manly, how he thinks about manly things, and seek a communion with Christ and a male-oriented viewpoint. A short it's the goal is to be 5 minutes of your morning. That lets you forge your the you're going to be forging a sword through the process. And forging is not pretty. It's heat and fire and pressure and striking. And so every morning there's going to be a strike where you're forging yourself through reflection and commitment. And there's going to be some pretty cool payoff as you forge a sword, which is a metaphor for yourself.
That's well put and a
Thank you.
biblical. Yeah, because you said, and I'm looking at a little bit of the information on the site that you forwarded me. Flint, set your life. I'm sorry. Set your face like Flint. It says Isaiah 57. So you took that right from Isaiah. I like the title of the app. It's
Thank you.
striking. I'm not trying to be punny, but it's it gets your attention. There's a waiting list, it looks like. Is that right? Then if people want to sign on, so when it is launched, will they get notification if they do that?
Yeah, they will get an email notification when it's launched, and once I have a little bit more of the core code developed, I'll be, sharing some sneak peeks, kind of like previews behind the scenes, and I'll probably share it on my Instagram too, just like, here, look at this cool
Yeah.
thing that's coming.
Nice. I like
That's
that.
the goal, hoping to launch towards the end of this year. But
Fantastic.
I'm full-time employed and a solo guy, so it might get pushed back a little bit, but
When things happen, right?
when life happens.
Yes, but it is a work in progress. It's not hard, people. If you're interested, you just put your email on there and then click the button and then you'll be notified
Oh, cool.
and then help support one of our fellow FSHD community people here that are trying to do good things, right? With
Thank you.
the direction that your life is going. It's fascinating.
Thank you.
Where you've
Thank you.
come to where you are, and sky's the limit to where who knows you'll end up. But
For all of us.
yeah, for all of us is the truth. And for me, yeah, this is definitely something that's lacking. I've met a lot of people in my life, faithful men. Some were unfortunately maybe astray through their journey. But I've always admired the point of their journey that I met them, to be so strong in it has always been admirable to me. Like, wow, like in the face of everybody else, like saying, why would you do this? Follow God, like how corny and those kind of things. I've always admired men that like stay true to it. And I think this is an interesting platform. So I plan on signing up, just so everybody knows,
Well, thank
to be a
you.
part of it and launch it. So, if people want to, you mentioned Instagram. You want to share anything if people want to find out more about you or what you're doing, or even if they want to connect, are you comfortable with that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
My Instagram is Hey That Ryan.
Oh, nice. Okay.
I'm sure you can put a little cool link or something.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Yeah, we can do that in the show notes. So if people want to
Show notes.
show notes, as I've been told by Anne at FSHD Society, does all the hard work, Ryan. She does all the
Okay.
hard work. I just talk to great people like you.
You just do the fun part.
I just do the fun part. That's definitely it. She's fantastic. Yeah. So she kind of ties all that together.
Awesome. Thanks.
Yeah. So last question I got for you is
Yeah.
kind of an advice question.
Okay.
And I've given this one to many people that have been on, and I think you might have some interesting insight. And the question is, someone recently, let's say is diagnosed, stumbles upon this episode. Like, who's this Ryan guy about? And wherever they are, in that point, maybe they're not sure if they want to be involved or be loud about their disease, or maybe they just, who knows, or how else they would handle it is to each their own. But what advice, if you had that opportunity and they asked you, right, I'm not sure how to deal with this, what advice would you give
Oh.
that person?
Well, my first advice would be just don't get it, just try not to have
Just avoid it
just
altogether.
avoid it.
Get a time machine. Yeah.
Get a time machine and change
And
history.
change it. Yeah.
So I my I think my advice and forgive my pausing here.
No.
But
Good.
don't do what I did and try to push it under a rug. It's so easy to hide from it. But it's really just faking yourself out. So in anything that you try to push into darkness will eventually be exposed to light. And if you try to bury your disease under a rug or pretend you don't have it and carry on with your normal life as everything was. You'll get away with that for a little bit, but it's a strong train, man, and it's going to pursue you. And if you attack it head on, not in a physical manner, but if you're mentally and emotionally facing it, then you're the one in control of it. So if you try to hide it, if you try to put it behind your back and ignore it, it's always there stalking you. And it will eventually hit you like it did me when suddenly my arm fell trying to lift a bottle of water. And trying to put on a beanie and whacking yourself in the head. You'd be like, well, okay, it's still here. But at that point, if you're trying to hide it, you're just going to get mad. You're going to get frustrated. You're going to find someone like God to throw your anger at, or heaven forbid, someone, on earth to throw your anger at. It's okay to be angry and it's okay to be sad. And it's okay to grieve because you're going to lose parts of your physical makeup, but you're never going to lose the part of who you are. Because how many muscle fibers you have and how much you can bench press, how many sit-ups you can do will never define who you are as a person. As I see it, that's only defined from God, from who you are inside. So I my advice is to, don't hide from it. Turn around and face it and find people in your own community or in the FSH community that you can talk to, because I'm sure if you send a message to anyone on the society, anyone on Instagram, send a message to me if you like. Anyone will walk through it with you, especially those who have been walking down this road for a little bit longer. So,
Well said. That's great advice. That's great
thank you.
advice. Yeah. I would take that advice
Yeah,
if
if
I
I
was
could go
someone.
back in
Yeah. If I
time,
go back, that yeah,
same as.
it's good stuff. Yeah. Well, thank you, Ryan, for joining us and spending some time. And I believe you've inspired a lot of people. And I hope people fill the email notifications on you for signing up for Flint. I think that's a great project that you're
Thank
working
you.
on. Keep following that journey. And thanks for spending some time with us today with it.
Thank you so much for having me, and God bless.
Thank you. Take
Bye.
care. So that is Ryan Olson in a really light yet deep conversation, right? Ryan has a great way of talking about his faith very candidly, without, as I've been termed from some people, they're like, I don't want it to be pushed on me. I don't think he's doing that. I think he uses that as fuel to guide his life. And I think some people need that. Some people already have it. and then they can share that commonality with him. What I love though is a certain points where he talks about through that conversation of this like intervention. And if he looks back, he's like, there's certain turns in his road that definitely seem like they were kind of faith-based or driven or how he sees it. And some might think that's like circumstance or coincidence. And I don't believe that. I believe that the overall path, not every single turn, but the overall direction, if you're open to the concept, I believe it is faith-driven. There's a reason why. No one wants this disease. Ryan said if we didn't have it to begin with, right? That's like the best advice. But that's not the case. You can't change it. And to me, that in lies part of the problem is the fact we can't change this, so we're frustrated. But you can't change it, so you're frustrated, right? And it just keeps spinning. The takeaway for me in this episode is a couple key things that Ryan talked about several times, and that was the comparison factor, comparing us to others. I know we do that with each other when we have the disease, but even I find myself always comparing myself, even if it's not very openly, but subconsciously even. I go to the gym and like I don't look like that guy. I can't even lift that, or even like a certain weight I lift, and I look at another person that looks a lot smaller than me and they're lifting more. I'm like, what the heck? And I understand this disease does that, but it still weighs on that part. And yes, this is a subject that I think I'm going to have an episode on, and that is this whole masculinity. I know women deal with a lot of things as well, when it comes to what beauty means and what society tells us it means. And I think there's the same problem when it comes to masculinity. If you don't have muscles, and if you don't do this or look this certain size, or don't have this like distinct jawline, now that's like the thing for men. And it's like, then you're not a man. You're not very manly. Or if I don't do certain things or drink certain things or act a certain way, I'm not very manly. It is sickening. This like false form of masculinity that I think has been taught, especially in the world I live in with a lot of sports, I fight that on a regular basis. If it's either on the field where I'm coaching against another coach who is this like overcharged masculine person, alpha male type, drives me crazy. Because I think a lot of the times it's more of a facade than who they really are. And I like the fact that Ryan talked about that. Not that he was like looking to talk about that, but when he brought up comparison, I wrote down the word masculine immediately in the way he brought it up. And I thought, man, we really should touch on that more. So that could be really fuel for me to see if we can interject an episode like that. Maybe I have to get more of a round table men and maybe and women discussion, especially the caregivers out there, or wives or significant others that have a man in their life that have this disease. Like, how do you see us, right? I mean, it is interesting. And then his adaptation from what he would do for a living to what he does now, and how that path opened up, and it opened up through his faith. He had faith, some doors opened, and he walked through them, and very grateful from where he is now. So I love the path that Ryan is taking, and he admittedly wasn't always so easy for him to be on that path. So it was just awesome. If you want to be a guest on the show, please email me, fshdradio@fshdsociety.org. Follow, rate, review the show, all those things. Please tell everybody about the show. I think this show can impact others, not just those with FSHD. I firmly believe that. I think these are inspirational stories that might help someone in their tough parts of their day. And maybe different resources that anyone can use, including this resource that is being built as we speak. Ryan Olson building an app called Flint. Set your face like Flint from Isaiah 57. Amazing. I think it's an interesting platform. And if you listen to this podcast, now you know about it. Maybe that's something you need. Maybe there's something or a topic you want to talk about. Please email me that as well. fshdradio@fshdsociety.org. And in closing, I wanted to give a special thank you to a husband and wife that drove from the Appleton area here in Wisconsin, where I live in the state of Wisconsin, and they had to come quite a ways. I'm talking like an hour plus, and they wanted to talk with me. Their son has FSHD. Yeah, he's in his 30s, and they just wanted to talk. I love that. I loved that opportunity. I'm very grateful for that, and very thankful that and flattered that they wanted to do that. And my wife and I met them and had a great conversation. for a while, and it helped me. It helped me. It gave me some good therapy, some good connection. That's really what I'm about when I'm doing this podcast and having those conversations. So if you're in the Wisconsin area and you want to meet, let me know as well. I'd love to hear from you there too. Lastly, the email again, fshdradio@fshdsociety.org. So thanks again all for listening, watching the show. Appreciate you. Thank you again, FSHD Society, for helping support this show, Ann and Aaron in the FSHD Society world, putting all the pieces together, helping with guests, editing, etc. Always grateful for the support I continually get from them and from you, the listener, the watcher of the podcast. Take care. Until next time, you've been listening to FSHD Straight Talk. Take care.